Hello and welcome to the podcast Sport and Life. We'll get to the show in just a second, but first a word to the sponsors. Chief sponsors, been with us a number of years now. Big thank you to Bang Olufsen Cheltenham and Serene AV, specialists in some of the finest home entertainment brands, providing solutions based around high quality customer service and installations. Look up Serene AV online or head to Jason Briggs's beautiful Cheltenham store, the courtyard there in the Montpellier area of the town. If you're looking to optimize your immunity, remember the podcast has a long-standing relationship with Cytoplan's food-based supplements. I've been taking them for 20 years under the stewardship of my father, Dr. Mark Draper, more than 20 years now. And with the podcast, you get 30% off your first purchase, 10% ongoing with the discount code. And this is a new code, by the way, Draper10X. So my last name, Draper, all capital letters, the numbers 10 and the capital letter X. That's at cytoplan.co.uk at checkout. cytoplan.co.uk. Now, numerous factors can hinder your athletic potential. However, what if I told you your fitness of your 100 trillion cells might be the problem? Well, Cell Nutrition Sport are the only company that works on fitness at a deep cellular level and have developed a protocol called Cellular Fitness, consisting of everything your cell needs to be fit. The protocol is 100% natural, harvested from the ocean, not manufactured in a lab or a warehouse. The Cellular Fitness Protocol is made up of Hydrate 78, which is from marine plasma, providing 78 plus electrolytes and trace elements that your body needs in ionic form. Hydrate 78 provides complete recovery, eradicate cramps, and enhances your stamina, while Hydrate 78 Night allows you to remineralize while you sleep, giving a higher rate of deeper sleep, which results in complete repair and stronger immunity. I've been taking this for a couple of months now and found a real boost of not only my workouts, but just general well-being and feelings of hydration and fitness. But find out more at cellularfitness.world and you can use the code TED10, T-E-D, all capital letters, numbers 10 for 10% off your entire basket. Well, thanks for listening to all that. Onwards and upwards with the show. Tom, good morning. Before we get to Rory from Reflow, we had to have a little private conversation just to say how good we're both looking this morning.
Well, I mean, it's that we always look 10 out of 10, but there's no reason why you can't strive for 11.
Okay? Absolutely.
I think we might just have managed to do it with the help of D-Rock.
Yeah, I think we look smart and sporty. Rumney and his team at D-Rock, wonderful, dispatched some wonderful kit out to us. I've got the tracksuit on, Tom's sporting, if you're listening to this podcast, fantastic T-shirt, which I think comes in a set with some shorts, doesn't it, Tom?
It is, yeah. It's like a waffle T-shirt, and it fits lovely. The material's superb. And it comes with the shorts as well, which I'll not get my legs out on show for the for those who are watching.
You haven't waxed them yet,
but I don't need to do that. I'm smooth as anything. he sent us a load of stuff, and they're all absolutely brilliant. So this is the T-shirt I've gone for today in the matching set, and I'm very much looking forward to taking this away to taking my wife away for her 30th. Can't say where, as I've said, because she doesn't know yet. It's a surprise, and these will look great by the pool. Put it that way.
Lovely. Where did she take you again? Was it Mauritius or somewhere? So the bar's pretty high, is that right?
No. Our honeymoon was the Maldives.
Okay.
And actually, I took a couple of polo shirts from D-Rock to the Maldives as well. I'm looking good out there. But she took me to Ibiza for my 40th.
Beautiful. Yeah, you've got some big birthdays coming up, Tom. Lovely stuff. Well, I think you look good. I love the tracksuit. I've got really good fit. Actually, the medium fits me really well. And for you at home, you can get 35% off. Very kind of Rumney and his team at D-Rock to offer that with the podcast. And if you go to drock.uk, you can get that off with the discount SAL. So Sport and Life, but SAL, all capital letters, and simply the numbers 35.
Oh, right. Is that what SAL is? I thought SAL was as in sale, but they've missed the E-O.
Well, I don't know. He didn't tell me, but I just guessed it was Sport and Life just for their record books. But
well,
maybe
that's better.
Not.
I mean, that makes a lot more sense. I was just thinking, why did they miss the EOF sale? Right, okay, I get it
but it might
now.
be but it might be easier for them to spot, because I guess there's a lot of sale items there. But good stuff. Well, Tom, hold fire. I'm looking forward to talking Southampton momentarily with Rory McFadyen. Rory McFadyen, welcome to the podcast, Sport and Life. Great to see you, especially sparing some time on an epic week of the big launch with the England captain. How's it all been? How are you?
Yeah, firstly, thanks for having me. Great to see you guys. And yeah, it's been manic, to say the least. there's been a fantastic reaction to it. And it's, you know, not the normal signing most people have as their first ambassador. So it's been a great week. And I'm loving every minute of it.
Awesome.
Tell us more about Reflow, how it started, what it is, and everything like that.
Yeah, we're a sustainable apparel brand. So for us, sustainability is at the core of everything we do. We don't just use it as a marketing tool. You know, we see in this current world lots of greenwashing, lots of brands talking about sustainability, but are many actually kind of walking the walk as well as talking the talk? So we make a wide range of apparel. We say performance wear. So, you know, it's up to people what they do when they're wearing it. We have a sharp point in golf, and we do a lot in golf, but we make active wear, leisure wear, paddle tennis stuff, and everything in between. And a couple of highlights, we make everything from recycled waste, predominantly recycled plastic and recycled coffee beans. We plant a tree for every product we sell. We've just developed the first recyclable range. So the world's first recyclable golf polo shirt, meaning end of life, you can throw something in the bin. You don't need to throw something in the bin. It won't end up in landfill. You can send it back to us and we'll recycle it. And yeah, our mission is to be the most sustainable apparel brand in the world. So 2 years into the journey, we launched kind of early 2022. sorry,
all flying by.
Yeah, flying by. And yeah, it's you know, we think we've really kind of captured a niche by making great product that just so happens to be sustainable. You know, that's our vibe. We have to want to wear it, and it has to be good enough. And I think Harry's testament to believing in that mantra that, you know, it has to perform well, look good, and it's sustainable on top of that. So yeah, that's us.
And how did Harry Kane come in on the ground floor like this? Pretty epic signing for you.
Yeah, and it actually started really early in our lifetime. So we sponsored an event called the Icon Series, which was played at Liberty National in New York, which is a team match play golf series, USA versus rest of the world. Think Ryder Cup, but played by iconic sportsmen and women from other sports. And Harry was on team rest of the world, and I was, you know, actually in the media day, and he tried the stuff on and instantly went, this is really good, what's this? And I was kind of like, whoa, that's pretty cool. And that enough for me was to go, oh, that's a nice moment. And then over the course of that weekend, we got chatting more about it, and he was genuinely interested in what we were doing. And but first and foremost, love the apparel. That was where it all came from, him wearing it and going, I really, really like this. And then it started a kind of, you know, 18-month conversation around how we'd like to be more involved and what that looks like. And yeah, culmination of that was the launch last week.
Awesome. And what a compliment to say that it feels good as well, because I'm guessing it sounds epic. We always complain about, I think my wife and I, the amount of plastic in the supermarket and what happens to it. And you try and recycle it. And obviously drink quite a lot of coffee in our house as well. So it's great that you're using the coffee grounds to recycle. But it sounds tricky to make clothes out of it. How difficult has the technology been to get something that looks like clothes, but also feels like clothes, I guess?
Exactly. And there is this, I wouldn't say misconception, because it's probably true that people have around wearing recycled clothing is that they don't feel or perform as well. They're not as breathable or stretchy, and maybe they're a bit itchy. And that was kind of the first thing that we needed to conquer, because, you know, it's all well and good making something that's better for the environment and has some positive impact. But at the same time, if it's not good enough, then people aren't going to want to wear it or come back and buy it a second time. So yeah, it took us 3 years to get right. And we worked with lots of different mills and factories to try and find things. And we probably turned down, you know, more than we said yes to, and we were really particular with it. And I think that has been that's the constant battle as well, is like, how do we evolve and make that better? So when we wanted to create a recyclable range, it's like, well, how do you make that product in a way that it can be recycled but still be good enough? So yeah, it's the kind of driving force of what we do, is make stuff that people really want to wear. And it has been tricky, and, you know, I think people still have, hopefully we're changing that perception that, you know, you can't have performance and sustainability together.
Well, he's looking sharp. He's looking sharp, isn't he, Tom?
Oh,
with his reflow hat
much
and
so.
Top.
Very
brand,
yeah.
on brand, always.
Exactly. People will definitely try to copy you, all right, which can be a huge compliment, but it's also a little bit annoying as well that you're like, well, this was our idea. We came up with this. Come up with your own idea.
We've already seen the first one, actually. Ironically, before Harry Kane launched, someone went into another brand, and I won't mention who they are, but a new brand, kind of went in and followed every single person who follows Reflow. And of course, there's a lot of our friends and family in that list. So I had on one day about 15 people message me going, you know, they've got a logo, which is very similar to ours. It's all very similar to us. Like, look at these guys. And I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, look, it's a... imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, right? And actually, if more brands are doing things in sustainability, then great. I have no problem with that. I don't see other sustainable brands as competition. I see our competition as the big incumbents who don't do things in a great way. So if we're encouraging people to make better products, then fantastic. And we're not the first people in the world to use recycled polyester. We're doing some stuff for the first, and I can't really mention it, but we're making all sorts of weird and wonderful fabrics made out of recycled other waste in the future. So, you know, we've taken inspiration from other great brands like Patagonia, and albeit we're very different, see no problem in people kind of, you know, seeing something and doing their own version of it, as long as they're not too close to what we're doing.
Social media is the Wild West, though, isn't it? I've got a mate that's opened a gym in Cheltenham, and he didn't realise that even people that are following him and then messaging him, or they kind of, people had realized somehow that the people were going to his gym, that they started to like DM them and say that their gym was much better and to come to their gym and all this stuff. It is kind of the shenanigans that now go on online that didn't exist when we were kids. But I suppose as well, it's whether those people are sincere, isn't it, Rory? So that's a big thing. Me and Tom always talk about sports washing at work at the moment with the influence of Saudi Arabia in particular. But I guess with the sustainability thing, everyone wants to say that they're sustainable, but it's whether they walk the walk.
Yeah, exactly. And thankfully, we're seeing, you know, the EU has just announced a lot of legislation around greenwashing. And actually, if you're making a claim, you've got to be able to back it up. And that's actually seen quite a lot of the big brands, the huge incumbents, kind of actually take a step back because they realize they're just, you know, a few of them have been sued in America. I won't name names, but for making claims that just aren't necessarily true. And we see it all the time. And it's the biggest frustration for us because we're trying to educate people on what we're doing. But at the same, someone will go, well, this brand here has done that one thing, and it may be like 0.1% of their output. You know, we like to use the phrase McDonald's makes salads, it doesn't make them a health food store. So when you see these big guys talking about sustainability, and by the way, McDonald's, please don't sue me for saying that. when you see the kind of the big brands talking about it, but you know, in reality, you know, they're not doing everything they should be doing. You know, you go, okay, and hopefully people are starting to cotton on to that. And, you know, a lot of them are taking a step back because they can't substantiate what they're saying and they realize it's going to get them in trouble.
Brilliant. I love it. And what about Harry Kane and Southampton then? Because Andy, who set this interview up, said that you kind of subplot here is that you'd like to bring Harry Kane back from Bayern Munich for a swan song at Southampton at St. Mary's.
That'd be the absolute dream. I don't know whether I've got that much influence or control over things. In fact, I say I don't know if I do. I absolutely don't. But if he ended up at Southampton, that would be incredible, especially under, you know, Russell Martin, with us charging up the Championship, to be up the Premier League. Who knows? It could be the big Champions League push for next season for us.
He could come back and get the Premier League record, Tom, at Southampton. What would that be if they got promoted? He came back after a couple of years. What a fairy tale, if you're a Southampton fan.
Southampton have had some legendary strikers over the years, no doubt about that. Sadly for me, as a Sunderland fan, you had Alan Shearer. When we started watching football, I actually went to Sunderland Southampton earlier this season, and we won 5-0, which was we didn't see that coming at all. And since then, I mean, Southampton had a couple of bad results after that, and since then you've not lost. It's been absolutely brilliant. What have you made of this season? Because Russell Martin, I watched him a lot when he was manager of MK Dons, and they had the best passing, their passing stats around Europe was up there with Barcelona, but didn't necessarily work in League One. In the Championship with Swansea, he certainly improved them before he left them to go to you at Southampton. At the start of the season, when it was going badly, what were you thinking, and how much do you love him now?
I'll answer the last part of that first. Absolutely love him now. What a man. And look, I think he inherited a team that was so mentally fragile that and tried to input a kind of completely new philosophy on them. It was always going to be difficult. I think, you know, that team for the last two seasons in the Premier League had been humped every week. And you could see as soon as we conceded a goal that the heads would go down. And he had a lot of work to do to change that mentality, I think. And fair play to him. He's done exactly that. And he stuck to his philosophies. I think he realised, I think he's made some tweaks to what he did, but you know, during that period of time, there was so much upheaval as well. You know, almost every player at some stage, you were thinking, well, are they going to stay here or are they leaving? You know, the team that we started the first game of the season, I think, had James Ward-Prowse and Lavia in there, and everyone knew that they were both going to leave, but you couldn't just not play them. So he had a team of guys who half of them thought they were on their way out, and I think you could probably say, look at, you know, Armstrong, look at KWP, look at half those players, they probably thought they were going to leave before, you know. So then all of a sudden they realized that they were playing championship football. They needed to learn a new philosophy, and there was a lot of new players to embed. So I actually think it was probably a couple of those defeats at the time felt like, oh my God, we're in big trouble here. But they probably did us a world of good that, you know, put some reality into the league that we were playing in, but allowed Russell Martin and his team to then kind of build people back up. And he's done an amazing job. And, you know, I enjoy the football we're playing for the first time ever. I'm enjoying seeing us win games, not for the first time ever, the first time in a long while, enjoying us win games. You know, part of me is saying, I wouldn't mind being in the championship for longer, yeah. But then all those great players disappear. So maybe not.
It's mad, isn't it? And I think given managers' time as well, it's always interesting because look at Bournemouth just down the road from you and only Iraola as well, struggling at the start of the season. Then they went on a flying run just before Christmas as well. But it's a good question, that, isn't it? And how, if you go up to the Premier League, because Russell Martin's really intelligent. I love listening to him speak about football. But you just wonder, if you go to the Premier League, can you play that expansive football? Because he's said he's 100% committed to it. It becomes a little bit more harum scarum, doesn't it? It'll be interesting if you do get up.
Hopefully we'll see you next year.
Yeah. No, I know. Definitely.
I'm going to St. Mary's for our away game down there as well, which is, I'm pretty sure it's in March. It's one of the grounds I've never been to. One of the big grounds I've never been to. So I'm looking forward to that. My wife's a Portsmouth fan. So she might actually come to that one with me because it's against Southampton. But I'm really looking forward to going down to that one. We've got absolutely no chance of even getting a point, let alone winning. But I think it'll be a good away day nevertheless.
Tell Tash to keep a low profile, because remember Franny Bernali saying he couldn't even go shopping in the Portsmouth shopping centre or something because of Southampton connections there. Yeah. It's a really big rivalry.
I don't think Tasha is one of Portsmouth's most recognisable or celebrity fans. I think she'll probably be all right. But I was funny enough, I was listening, Teddy, you and I have got to know Danny Cowley quite well, and he was manager at Portsmouth. And he was in one day, he comes in on a Sunday, and I said, all right, Danny, how are you doing? Because he was coming on air with me. And he goes, oh, well, I was having a lovely morning. You know, I got up early, went for a run. I was really enjoying my run down on the coast, you know, down along the beach. And then this Southampton fan just comes up right in my face and shouts, Southampton, and then runs off. And basically my day's gone downhill from there. It's actually a much more fierce rivalry than you realise. When you're outside of it, you don't realise how big it is. And now, obviously, married to a Portsmouth fan and reading Harry Redknapp's book, you realise that that is fierce, isn't it, Rory?
Oh, absolutely. I've been lucky enough to be at quite a few of the derbies. And it's like something you've never seen. And actually, Southampton generally, week in, week out, is a quiet, friendly, you know, family club. You know, it's not, you know, synonymous with having a firm or any of that type of stuff. And, you know, you barely see any trouble there ever. You've got some quite raucous fans who sit in kind of block 42 and, you know, they like singing and, you know, all that type of jazz. But actually, in terms of like it feeling dangerous, very rarely. You know, I think I've got plenty of friends who take their kids every week. So for them to see the cauldron of a Southampton Portsmouth game when that happens is unreal. It's like nothing I've ever seen. It's not something I want to experience again too much. Been in the heart of it by accident once. I was kind of in the middle of when all the fans came together. And it was just like, okay, this isn't good. And people were ripping bits off cars and launching them at each other. And it was just a case of getting out of there. So yeah, it is not the prettiest side of the game, but actually the rivalry is real and very real. And I think a part of you know, in fact, the last Southampton-Portsmouth game, I was in Japan and found a bar at 4 a.m. to watch it. And everyone thought I was slightly bonkers up watching a game of football at that time. But yeah, I think all Southampton fans now would like a little, while we're kind of playing good football again. There's probably the last couple of seasons, if you'd have asked us, we'd be a bit worried we'd lose that fixture. But now we'd like a cup draw against them or something and, you know, get that going again, just because we feel like we're an okay team again.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if they get back in the same division. You're both doing well, hopefully, for promotion. They'll be in the Championship. You'll be in the Premier League, potentially.
Yeah, I think they're both going up this season. Personally, I think you're both getting promoted. Teddy, do you think it's time for Rory's top five Southampton players?
Yeah, top five Southampton players. Rory, thanks for doing this. It was really interesting to see what you've gone with. Just set the scene for us, first of all, with the time frame that we're looking at in terms of when you began being a Southampton fan. Did it all begin at the Dell for you, or is it more St Mary's focused?
Yeah. First ever game was that I ever went to was Southampton Man United at the Dell. United had already won the league and, you know, put out a fairly shonky team, I think, is probably. Bradley Gorman was in goal or something along those lines. And we won 2-1. And that was my first ever Saints game at the Dell.
What year was that? Was that early 2000s?
I would have been 10 or so. So I would guess late 90s.
Okay.
Yeah. So actually, I come from a family of rugby fans. My old man isn't a big football fan by any means. And our family best friends, when I was a youngster, realised I was probably about 6 or 7 and not really affiliating with any team. So as a Southampton, as diehard Saints fans, they're like, we've got an opportunity to convert someone here to be a Saint. So yeah, they bought me a Southampton kit one Christmas with Letizia across the back, and that was it. I was hooked. And I think I did a few away games in London when I was like 7, 8, or 9 with those guys. West Ham away, Upton Park, I kind of vividly remember. But yeah, kind of really started to get into it when I convinced my dad to take me to games every weekend. And yeah, it was that period of leaving the Dell. And then the first season at St Mary's, I think I pretty much went to every home game. So yeah, it was it's something that isn't necessarily in my family, but something which is definitely ingrained in me from a young age.
Beautiful. Yeah. Where do we start then? Number one on your list of top five Southampton players.
Are we going 5-1?
Whichever way.
Yeah, reverse order. Let's go reverse order.
Now this is quite difficult because I'm basing it on players that I've seen and loved, but also I generally hate anyone who's left Southampton. So for a bigger team. So there is a little bit of that in me. But so number five is actually the only current player in the list. And probably not who you'd think, but Carl Walker-Peters, number five for me.
Yeah.
I think he would have left in both the last two transfer windows. Happily, easily. I think there are plenty of teams that would want him, but he's got his head down, knuckle down. I think he's actually the best player in the league. I think he's absolute class. And whilst in the relegation season, he never looked like a few of the players didn't look like they cared, and he looked like he cared. And I genuinely think he's been brilliant. So this season especially, he stepped up and he has been a leader on the pitch. And I think he's absolutely class. He could play in almost any of the Premier League teams, I think, but he's stuck with us.
Great shout. I love it.
Yeah. Good one. I think he's an underrated fullback.
Yeah,
he's an underrated right. The thing is, England have got so many amazing right backs. That's probably Kyle Walker-Peters' issue. If Kyle Walker-Peters was left-footed, he'd probably be in the England squad. But it means he probably wouldn't be in the Championship. So you know, all's well that end well. I suppose. Number four.
Yeah, I guess go on, Roy.
Number four, his name has already been mentioned. Here is Mr. Francis Benali. I mean, one club man. He's done some brilliant things for the community and the club since retiring. I've been fortunate enough to spend a bit of time with him and is genuinely one of the nicest blokes you'll ever meet. So Mr. Francis Benali, number four. One club man, and just what a brute of a left back. No one's going past him.
We love him.
He's just you're right though. He is a really, really lovely man. And if Teddy and I quickly do our top five Southampton players, he's definitely in mine. I'm pretty sure it'll be in yours as well.
Yes.
What,
yeah,
he, great man as well as what a brilliant player he was for you.
And that's always a phenomenon, isn't it? Rory mentions there that he was really tough tackling, agricultural style left back at times. Good left, great left foot, but such a contrast. You got that quite a lot with players, that the fiercest ones on the pitch are sometimes the nicest off it, but wonderful stuff. And I just can't believe how much he runs, because he runs absolutely ridiculous amounts for charity, doesn't he? And he's still going.
He does. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that, I think almost he's become as much of a hero on the pitch as off it now with people in Southampton. He's raised a lot of money for the Saints Foundation, and yeah, good on him.
Good for him. Number three, Rory.
Number three, Ricky Lambert. I think one of my favourite times supporting Saints was when we went on that roll from League One up to the Championship, and there was a core of that team that drove us there. And actually, I don't think there's any other of the core of that team in there. But he just scored such great goals. I remember Bristol Rovers away. I was there and I think we won 4-1. And he scored two of the best goals I've ever seen anyone score. One of them, he just ball dropped over his shoulder from about 40 yards out and absolutely leathered it into the top corner. And yeah, just a score of great goals. I think it's a great story of him kind of coming to Saints and finding his boots. And actually, he's one of the few players I didn't begrudge a move to Liverpool. So that's why he's in there. So yeah, I think what a player he was. Massively underrated.
It's a brilliant transfer story as well, isn't it, Tom? Bit of a fairy tale for people in our industry, Ricky Lambert going to Liverpool. It's great when you see them come up through the leagues.
And he went to the World Cup, didn't he? Was it the World Cup in Brazil that he went to? And he was... the thing is with him, he was like a big, strong striker. But he was actually very mobile with... I mean, his free kick-taking was out of this world. I think you signed him from Bristol Rovers as well, didn't you? I'm pretty sure he came from Bristol Rovers. He might have gone to someone else before Southampton, but he was... I absolutely loved him. Just the way he struck the ball, and like I say, with the free kicks and stuff, as well as being big and strong and good in the air. He was kind of like a complete forward. The only thing he was missing was pace, but he had everything else. Loved him. Brilliant. Yeah, I'm glad you've got him.
Got an England debut as well against Scotland.
He did. Yeah, cool. God, you know what? I'd forgotten about that. Ricky Lambert at three. He was at two.
Now, most people would just go this guy straight in at number one, is Mr. Matthew Letizia. I mean, what a magician. And again, been very, very lucky over the last few years to play a fair amount of golf with Matt. Well, mainly before COVID. But yeah, he just a magician, you know. I actually work in Dubai, live in Dubai, and I've worked here for a long while. And I joined a company a while back, and we worked in football sponsorship, and half the team are, you know, they're from all around the world, and they kind of follow Liverpool and they follow Manchester United, and I'd mention the name Matt Letizia, and they're like, who? So I just put on Matt Letizia's top 20 goals onto the screen in the office and just went, look at this. And everyone was like, oh my God, who is this man? Why did he not play on the screen?
Did you see a Letizia goal when you were watching as a kid?
I'm just trying to the goal against Arsenal, his last ever goal, I was there for that when he chested it and volleyed it. I saw that will live long forever, especially he was kind of like, you know, on it, he knew he was retiring at that stage, and he'd probably had a good few months of not training, and he kind of hobbled on and scored that goal, that, you know, fairy tale ending, right?
But just before your time, I mean, Teddy and I will remember his two goals against Newcastle at the Dell, which were really the work of a magician. His goal against away at Blackburn with Tim Flowers in goal against his old club was just like so nonchalant, even though it was about four miles out. You know, it was Letizia. My first ever game. I don't think I've actually said this on this podcast. My first ever game I went to was New Year's Day, 1991, at Roker Park, and it was Sunderland v Southampton, and Sunderland actually won 1-0 through a Kevin Ball penalty. But I remember towards the end of the game, Letizia got the ball at the edge of the box, and even at that age, and I was only 7.5 years old, when Letizia got the ball at the edge of the box, to me it felt like it was like an open goal tapping for other people at that age, because I knew how good he was. Thankfully, he struck it well, but the goalkeeper saved it. And it was right at the end, and we won 1-0. But still, I've got that early memory of Letizia, and how he didn't get how the England managers couldn't find a way of accommodating him as a regular in the squad is baffling.
Indeed, and sadly, if he'd probably gone to a bigger club, he probably would have got those caps.
True.
That you feel that a lot as a Saints fan, that, you know, players don't really get their chance. And they did for a while. There was a period where you had, you know, when Luke Shaw and Lallana and those guys broke into the team, that you went, oh, okay, they're, you know, people are paying attention. But yeah, I think it's sad because it's one of the reasons players leave. Although James Ward-Prowse left, and I don't think, you know, he's not broken into the England team like we'd have expected him to.
No.
Bigger kick at West Ham, because half my mates are West Ham fans, and if they listen to this, they'll never let me down. Another big club like West Ham.
Yeah.
You know, he should be a shoo-in for that side, really.
Yeah, I think Gareth Southgate would pick Jordan Henderson if he's playing for the Red Line over James Ward-Prowse for whatever reason. I'm not sure. It seems to be his preference, yeah, at the moment. So we come to number one. Oh, yeah, Letizia, I always think he's what a luxury player as well, which is the old school. I can't imagine him doing like Jurgen Klopp's Gegenpress or whatever you call it these days. But
absolutely not.
Yes, I know.
If Letizia is number two, I mean, I tell you what, Teddy, I'm desperate to know who's number one.
I'm fascinated by this. Who is the number one?
I don't think you'll be expecting this. I don't think anyone will be expecting this. Anyone listening now will probably have a few people in mind who it could be, but it's none of them. I can guarantee you that. Aurel Romeu is my number one.
Nice.
I think he was criminally underrated when he was at Saints by a lot of fans. I think it's no coincidence that when he left, we went down. Again, he was one of these people that gave a lot to the club and the community outside of just playing. But on the pitch, I think he was an absolute Rolls Royce. And he had this reputation as being a, you know, tough tackling, you know, you don't want to play against him. But also, you know, him on the ball, exceptional, would you know, control possession, ping the ball around, massively underrated. He's one of those players that you probably don't really realise what you had until he's gone. And to see him in a Barca shirt now is pretty awesome. And that he's kind of gone on that mission of went to Girona, went, like, you know, his childhood club, and then into a Barca side where, you know, he was in a Barca academy when he was younger, I think is a great story. And he just seems like, I've never met him, but he just seems like a great bloke. And, you know, he's not a flashy footballer. You know, I used to look at his Instagram stories and pictures, and it would just be, you know, him taking his dogs for a walk around Winchester. And he just seemed like a really good bloke.
You're like a Catalonian Michael Carrick, that just very good at keeping the ball, very composed. Yeah, I love it.
Apart from he'd absolutely boot you up in the air as well. He was strong in the tackle.
He was.
You know, Teddy, I like it when people think outside the box. So I'm happy with that.
I'm bored with that.
So it was Aurel Romeu 1, Letizia 2. Was Benali 3? Or was he...
Lambert 3.
Who was 3, sorry?
Ricky Lambert.
Lambert 3, Benali 4, and 5 was...
Kyle Walker-Peters.
It's a brilliant 5.
Okay.
Who would you get yours, Tom?
My 5, I've gone David Prutton, because he's our colleague, isn't he? So I've gone David Prutton. I've obviously gone super Kevin Phillips. You know, I can't not...
Okay, yeah, I see where this is going.
he loves the red and white stripes, yeah.
He's on there somewhere. there he is, right in the middle there. I got super Kev makes an appearance. Danny Higginbotham, who also played for Sunderland and was at Southampton. Wayne Bridge. When Wayne Bridge was playing left back for Southampton, there was some stat where he was the only defender in one season where no one had got past him. And that was when fullbacks were starting to be more attacking. And after that, I've gone 4, because it was too obvious for like Letizia and because Benali was in, but again, thinking outside the box, I've gone Ian Dowie.
Industrial striker.
So there you go. Teddy, have you got 5 in mind?
I've got 5, but I had Letizia and Benali on mine, so I wasn't original in that sense. The 3 that are different, I've got Jim Magilton, former Southampton midfielder, always good player, played for Ipswich as well, didn't he?
Unlucky enough to go on the beers with him a few times.
Really?
He
seemed like a character.
Dubai for the Dubai Desert Classic every year. So, a couple of times we've kind of caught a few mutual friends, bumped into him, and just turned into he can drink is all I'll say.
He looked like a twinkle in his eye always, Jim Magilton, curly hair, good guy. I had James Ward-Prowse. I think as a Man United fan, I'm kind of relieved he hasn't yet beaten David Beckham's record for free kicks, but it's probably a matter of time in the Premier League that he's going to do that.
It is a matter of time.
I don't think he's going to sign for Real Madrid anytime soon. But then also a striker that was the bane of my youth for Southampton was Egil Ostenstad, who just seemed to score bags of goals against Manchester United. He scored a couple in the 6-3 win at the Dell in in 96. And I think Tom was saying, we almost got a hat trick in another game as well against United. So he was a great, great Scandinavian striker. Love watching Austin Stadium. He seemed unusual.
I remember when I was a kid, they used to have open training sessions. My dad took me to watch one of the open training sessions. And he was the model professional. So, you know, Lettice finished training and came over and was doing autographs and keeping uppies with people and, you know, was very chilled. And Austin Stead was there doing one-on-one training with one of the coaches for an hour and was there, you know, before, was there till everyone had left. He was just going for it. So I think he was a bit of a machine. Absolutely great shout.
Must have been so annoying.
Paha nearly made the list.
Yeah, Paha's, yeah. It must be so annoying for Egil Austinstad that Letitia probably wanders off. And I think his anecdotes say he then go to McDonald's. But then you think, actually, the way Letitia played, you'd be thinking, oh my goodness, how's he pulled it off? Roy, brilliant to speak. Thank you for coming on the pod. Tell us quickly before you go how to get in touch with Reflow, how people can purchase some of your fine gear.
Awesome, yeah. Well, thanks very much for having me. It's been great fun. Love the Saints chat. And if you're looking to get some Reflow gear, reflow.com, reflow.com is the best way. We next day delivery in the UK. It's free delivery, all carbon offset, obviously. Head to there and you can see all of our ranges on there. And we've got a really cool collaboration with the WM Phoenix Open, which is for sale at the moment, which is probably just about to sell out. So by the time this goes out, it might be sold out, but that's pretty cool. But yeah, if not, take a look at what we've got on there.
Brilliant work, Rory. Great stuff. Rory McFadden. Tom, good work. I'll speak to you next week, my man. Speak to you soon.
See you, lads.
Thanks, gents. Been a pleasure.